Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos. Hey, hello. How can you not be happy when you hear that music? So welcome to episode number 117, with this episode coming out just 3 days after the last. And this episode, like the last, is going to be talking about art in the age of now at Fulham Town Hall, which had its opening on Tuesday, and it was such a good evening. I saw plenty of old friends that I hadn't seen for, well, since before lockdown, and also made a few friends. Everyone's a winner. And talking of old friends, this episode features two of them. The first being MC Lammas from back in the day when it was the Mizog Art Podcast. And the second, Abigail Fallis from episode 92. Now, I won't go into too much detail about this episode, but MC is curating over 20 artists across 3 rooms, one of which is Abigail, whose sculpture has been featured quite often in the publicity for the exhibition. And I know I've mentioned it before, and I will definitely be mentioning it again, but this is a huge exhibition with over 100 artists. It's in an amazing building, with some great art experiences. What more do you want? I mean, it was straight across the road from Chelsea's football ground, and they were playing that night. There was 2 massive queues when you come out the station. The small queue was for Chelsea Football Club. But it was a great night to be around artists and art lovers themselves. And it was run with military precision by Art Below's production team, who were proper on the ball. But to find a little bit more about what's going on, please come with me to meet MC Lammas and directly after, the lady who's always been a little bit bananas, Abigail Fallis. This afternoon I've invited MC Lammas along to talk about a show that she's creating across 3 rooms, showing work by female-only artists at Fulham Town Hall in Art in the Age of Now. Hi, MC.
Hi.
How are you? Good?
I'm very well. Yeah, I'm very well. Thank you. Building up to the show, so there's still last-minute things to do.
There's a lot of artists in there, isn't there?
Always, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's going to be so... I mean, it has been a lot of fun putting it all together, actually, and being part of this hub, because we're all building up to like this this opening, and it's very exciting that we're all, I love doing that when there's like such a big group of people, yeah. And all the excitement builds up because it's a collective excitement.
It is getting quite electric now, isn't it? And even behind the scenes in like the WhatsApp group, it's buzzing and buzzing constantly, isn't it?
Mostly people just trying to get in.
Exactly. Please let me in. You've got three rooms in the town all that you're curating.
Yeah.
You've got over 20 artists. Yeah. Could you tell us something about some of the artists you've got there in the rooms that you're curating?
Well, I've got, three completely different rooms in a way. And I mean, they're all women artists, which happened completely unintentionally in the beginning because I was just selecting pieces. And actually the first room started, the whole show I was going to do quite kind of an eerie, mysterious, conceptual, abstracted, like monochromatic curation. But I started by asking Nettie. I think Nettie was one of the first artists I was talking to. So I created the first room kind of around these themes, and then it developed into two more different stories. So the first one I did was more mysterious, and it's got the Nancy Fouts Little Red Riding Hood.
Nice.
It's got really poetic, painterly oil paintings. I've also got to have a friend who made a poem that's written part in Hebrew that she will be performing on the private view night. And it's got stuck in vinyl to the to the wall behind the same wall as the Nettie Wakefield pieces. So it's like I'm kind of trying to tell a story with all these works and, you know, quite personal pieces, I would say.
Well, I went in there a few days ago, before everything was hung.
Yeah.
I went in from the main hall and I was met with a stack of bananas by Abigail Fallis.
Yeah. Yeah, that work makes me so happy. So we were chatting during lockdown with Abigail and she was playing around with these bananas.
Yeah.
And I literally, every time I saw them popping up on Instagram, I would start laughing. I was like, this is amazing. And especially Abigail with the bananas, just the whole image of it and her like playing around. And she started making those banana puzzles, essentially, that are like structures. So they cut out bananas. And you can play around with them and create your own structures because they slot in with each other. And I was like, I was about to call Abigail Banana, actually. Banana did.
Banana Phallus.
Yeah. That would be such, actually, I mean, literally the amount of banana puns that we've been making. I can't deal with it anymore. And I said, Abigail, we have to have those big, like, please make them big. Brilliant. So we ended up doing that. And that was the first piece for that room. And then, like, that room ended up being quite a fun, fun pornographic, but cheeky, not aggressive, colorful pop room. Which the centerpiece is all these bananas. It's like this crazy, which also reference, I mean, it's also a very like, you know, conceptually interesting piece because it references Andy Warhol and obviously Maurizio Cattelan.
Yeah.
And I think that was the beginning of her process. It was to do with the Maurizio Cattelan banana at Basel that was stuck to the wall. So, you know, it has all these kind of references. But I wanted it, I just think art should be fun, you know, sometimes. And you could tell intelligent stories or conceptual stories with things that are quite fun.
Yeah.
And I love that. I just, especially since we've been in such a dark lockdown for
totally
a year.
Agree.
Like seeing a stack of yellow cut out bananas that you can play with and arrange yourself just makes me really happy.
Well, I think as you just said there, we're in a bit of a grey world at the moment. Fun, colour, humour. We need loads of it, you know.
Yeah, that's also and the third room is I have pieces that I made during lockdown with my collaborating partner artist, Pauline Amos, and And again, they're quite fun pieces that we made to, because she was part of my bubble. So she was the only person I was seeing. But so I'd go see her in Devon and we'd spend a week just painting and having fun and laughing. And we were just saying the other day, like, art, you know, you should make each other laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, and our process is quite funny as well, because we, with the paintings, we made our time. So we'd work on 10 works at the same time and then put a 30-second timer on a phone and change paper. And we'd kind of, we'd make each other laugh without talking to each other, just by marks that we were putting down on the canvases. And yeah, we mark, so we'd go over the, we'd have 10 pieces of paper or 4 canvases, and we'd swap them around and kind of rotate and paint on each other's marks and try and create a story together without physically talking to each other. So the kind of conversation was happening on the paintings, which was a lot of fun as well.
Brilliant. I did see one in, going back to the room with Abigail's bananas in it.
Yeah.
As I went in, some had just been hung there, and there was a large, maybe 70 by 50 piece, just as you walk in, which had like embroidery shapes on it, on a nude image.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Edie Baker, and she's great. She's like a new discovery of mine, and she works a lot with old vintage pornographic pinup magazines that she cuts out and collages, and she retells stories and makes fun of, you know, of those images and then embroiders on top of them.
Brilliant.
And she told me she had the biggest collection of vintage pinup magazine in London. Amazing. So in her studio, it's just her with a pile of like random boobs and nipples and hands. And she loves putting hands on like really awkward parts of like images. Excellent. And yeah, excellent. So she's been a lot of fun. And I mean, we've also got Holly Allen, who's another embroidery related artist, and she's really great. I discovered her through Kate Bryan's Instagram, actually.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with her work, and I've always thought, oh, if I'm going to curate another show, I really want her to have a place in it.
Yeah, because she sort of draws with needle and cotton, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And I'd seen her work online, and because I've only seen it on Instagram, I had no idea of the scale. And and when I walked in and saw that it was possibly maybe 1200 wide.
Yes, yeah.
But I just envisaged them being maybe sort of 500 wide, you know. Not that that's a problem.
Yeah. No, it's like, and I love the geometry with them, and, you know, the kaleidoscopic situation that really makes you look into it, and I find them so precious.
Yeah, it definitely draws you in, doesn't it? Like Nettie's, for instance, Nettie Wakefield. I go close to her work and sort of have a look at her pencil lines. I found myself doing the same with Holly's work, going up and looking at the stitching, you know. It's just another pencil or brush line to me.
Yeah, it's so delicate. I really love her work so much. And then we've also got Savannah McMillan, who's an LA-based photographer. And she has, she has 3 pictures that are also quite suggestive, but abstract in nature. And she's really great as well. I had never curated a photographer before, actually. And
you haven't?
I really enjoyed because I find that sometimes it's a medium that I don't understand like as much, because I haven't practiced it either, like and to that, like, digital, I mean, where, because when I play with Polaroids, I suppose it's different. But it was really interesting working with her as well, and being based in LA, kind of the conversation back and forth. Yeah, it was really good. So I've discovered, actually, through curating this, I've discovered a lot of new artists, because I, you know, by researching and seeing what works. So new relationships as well, which has been really exciting.
That's always good.
Yeah.
That's always good. All right, MC, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And I'll see you at the private view.
Absolutely. Yeah.
See you later.
Bye.
Part of that conversation MC and I just had, we focused on the banana sculpture of Abigail Fallis. Well, we've got Abby here with us now. Hi, Abby. How are you?
Good, thank you, Gary. How are you doing?
Well, your banana sculpture at the Fulham Tanner has become a little bit of a talking point. How did the idea come about?
Basically, they started life at my daughter's 13th birthday, which was last year, And I always make her a birthday card. And it was about 1 a.m. I'd wrapped her presents. It was like, oh, what am I going to make her? And literally looked at the fruit bowl and saw the bananas. And I'd been doing cardboard shopping trolleys for, at the time, for Isolation Art School.
Yeah.
I'd been doing some stuff for them. I'd been painting up lots of cardboard. So I had some yellow cardboard. So literally cut out, drew some banana shapes. Not unlike the Andy Warhol bananas, which these remind me of. I'm referencing some good historical pieces here. And also another favourite artist of mine, who's sadly died, is Angus Fairhurst. Angus did lots of bananas, and he did the inside of the banana, and I think they were called Undone. Very beautiful, cast them in silver. I've been in a few shows with him, and I have always been a fan of his bananas as well. So I'll make some bananas. So cut out, stack them. But the idea is, it's like she would have to wake up and build her own bananas. They were always flat pack and lightweight. I teach and I like to do community projects. So I sort of everything I sort of think about now, how do I extend that into the community? How am I going to take this into design technology projects, etc., and other children and SEN students? So lots going on. That's how it started. Made her the banana back, and then I thought they looked amazing, and was really pleased with them. Then at the same time, this was last year summer, Maurizio Catalan, my house was full of cut out cardboard bananas, stacks of them being stacked everywhere. Maurizio Catalan at the same dark time sort of crashed the Basel art fair by taping the banana with gaffer tape. And it sold for, I don't know, 120K. So that was, and so what I did at the time, we're just coming up for the Art Car Boot Fair last year, I taped my cardboard banana onto a canvas board with some gaffer tape. And again, they look so great. But the best thing about these, they make you smile. So we're in this pandemic. And so I think, there's a lot of worry, anxiety going on. And I think these just take your mind off a bit. Definitely. They certainly take mine. Anyone that walks in, they smile. I don't know if it's the colour, the yellow, I think it. Artists, all of the various art historical references.
And the banana's a sort of humorous object anyway, isn't it? With all of those comedic connotations, the banana skin. It's a great fun tongue-in-cheek object.
And have you, I remember once when I was at a party, we were quite drunk in a kitchen somewhere, and we actually thought, well, how slippery are bananas? So we really slippery. Dying if you fell on a banana. So we were ice skating around a kitchen on banana skins. So also, I've become obsessed with the bananas now. Brilliant fuel, but as you say, it's got that comedy value.
Yeah,
it's got a real darkness because, of course, you think of the slave trade, you think of colonialism in the UK. I think the Cavendish banana came from the UK, and it was sent out to Guatemala to feed the slaves who were building the railways.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was an easy food. You didn't have to give them anything. They can pick their own food off the trees and eat them. That's how appallingly bad the British were treating their staff back then. And what happened was, on the Guatemalan railways, Che Guevara was training to be a doctor at the time and living in Guatemala. And the American army, the Guatemalan banana workers, which I think was the Banana Republic, wanted basic sanitation rights and homes for the railway workers, because they were just left to sleep on the side of the road and then expected to build all day and eat bananas. So they did an uprising. They didn't really do an uprising. They got a union together and said, we would like basic sanitation and housing. So what the American army did, they came in and they killed them all. They murdered up to, it's about 2,000 people for asking for such a thing. Now, Che Guevara was out at the time, and he witnessed this atrocity.
Yeah.
Would have been a young guy. He was training at the time, so I'd imagine it was in his 20s or something. And that's what caused it. He got me in touch with his mate, Fidel Castro, and that was sort of the beginning of the of their freedom fighting. Wow. And how they set off, because they witnessed this atrocity of their own people, to ask for something as simple as, can we have some, you know, somewhere to go to the toilet? Yeah. It's the most disgusting story I'd ever heard. And I think it's so important we don't forget about these things. You know, we I don't see that many people walking around the streets. Well, no one's been walking around. That's why. But, you know, when I was a student, everyone was wearing Che Guevara T-shirts for a good reason, you know. I think we need a bit of that back. The government were about to put that bill in, weren't they, where no one could protest, no one on the streets. So we have to fight these bills. And for me, this the bananas represent freedom fighters well. So it definitely, you know, it's carrying that message as
brilliant
government takeover. So yeah, they've also got that, the darkness, which is the a tribute to the 2,000 people that were murdered by the American army.
The bananas in question, they're pretty much to scale. They're made of MDF and they've got little slots in them so you can sort of make your own sculpture. They're interchangeable. But the ones at Fulham are a lot larger. And what are they, sort of maybe four and a half feet?
Yes. The board I cut them out of, I wanted to get it so I could still travel with it. It was an 8x4. So each banana is, I think I fitted some of the smaller ones too in there. So the biggest one is 8x4. Okay. They had to be engineered because unlike these where you can just stack them into any pattern, Fulham had to be stacked into a specific way.
Got you.
You're responsible. Anything you go quite big with, you are totally responsible. If that falls on someone, that's you as the artist's responsibility. Yeah. So you have your public liability, your insurance, to be prepared for that. So that had to be engineered so that it would work, that it's very stable. And I've also found a new material now because they're all made in birch ply, which is a very high-end plywood. It's lovely. It's a really good wood. So they're made in that. But I found this other one called Tricoya, which has a 25-year lifespan underwater. So the great thing is, because I understand people might want these for their gardens, they couldn't really have one in birch ply because it's not waterproof. But now I've got the Tricoya, it's amazing. So I can make an addition that they're weighty, they're good. You'd anchor them down, you'd put pegs underground to support them.
Oh, nice.
So I can now make them as an outdoor sculpture. Affordable one, because it's not going to be at the level of metal, of course. If anyone wants a metal one, they can translate into any size, scale or material. That's what I love about this pattern. It took me ages to finalize how many notches, how I'm going to make it, for that very reason that when Storm King Sculpture Park comes to me and said we want one at 10 meters high, I can make it. Still a bit of work in the CAD file, but it's all doable because I've got it all down now in CAD. So yes.
Yeah, because historically you are pretty well known for making quite tall sculptures, aren't you?
I hope that my work is always very zeitgeist, that I'm going to make it at the time, but that it's always going to be talked about. It's always going to be relevant. I wish it wasn't. Like when I made the fish pieces, my fish bronzes, taking the fish skeletons. Well, I made those over 20 years ago and they're more relevant than ever.
Yeah.
Not done anything in 20 years to support the seas. We're doing tiny, tiny things that literally are dropping the ocean as
So
I can proudly say that all of my work still have will always have an important message, unless humanity can turn it around so quickly and change.
Well, that sort of reputation with your work has already started in just a small little way, insofar as when you're in the Fulham Town Hall, when you're asking someone where to get to a certain room, they say like, oh, just go up past the banana room and then it's on the left, you know?
Yeah, they are. They're a landmark, aren't they? Yeah. Cities, literally. I'd like to see them in cities so that you're going about your business, then you walk around the corner and bam, there's a giant stack of bananas.
Brilliant.
You can't help but they just take your mind off. They distract you. They distract you from the everyday, from anxiety, from anything. And if you can make someone come around the corner, beam their head off and then carry on walking, then, you know, you've done something good.
Yeah, the perfect sculpture for the city centre, aren't they?
I really you know, want to push them to that. It's hard getting those city centre sculptures. Yeah. I'm joining the MRSS, Society of Royal Sculptors. About to join them because I didn't realise they do the plinth one. Yes, so anyone listening, please contact me for your banana specifics and I can adapt them for any environment. So yeah, they're great.
Excellent. So are you about to become the mad banana lady?
She makes these beautiful capes, Sonia Burns, Pants on Fire. She makes really beautiful capes, very waterproof. They're made for festivals and things, waxed. Yeah. Camouflage cape. So she's making me a wax camo cape, but the inside is going to be silk banana lining.
Nice.
I am actually getting a banana cape.
Brilliant. Well, Abigail, that's us about done. I'm very much looking forward to seeing you at Fulham Town Hall.
Great, Gary. I look forward to seeing you on Thursday.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I'll see you later, Abigail.
See you later.
Ta-da. Well, there you have it. First of all, MC Lammas. How bloody cool is she? And her curation went down a storm on Tuesday night. And Abigail Fallis, who's getting her own banana cape. She's going to be a real superhero. But like Ali was saying there, when you look at her sculpture, you just see a fun, innocent, playful object. Then you discover it's got these powerful and dark conceptual and political undertones. Not every artist can pull that off, I tell you. But Abigail has, on a large scale and on a small scale. So, Abigail, thanks a bunch. The old ones are the best, right? Art in the Age of Now is open until the 6th of June. It's at Fulham Town Hall and you have to book via Eventbrite. And it is a bloody corker of a show. And talking of a corker of a show, next week's guest has currently got one. And that's the amazingly colourful Orlando Broom. She's showing at the Grove Square Gallery. So if you're in London, that's another one to pop into. Because Orlando has installed a trowel through a mini forest. So that's this coming Monday with myself and Orlando Broom. I'll see you then. Like I say every week, on whichever platform you listen to this podcast, you should be able to leave a comment. If you could do that, that really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. If you've got any queries, drop us a line on social media at ministryofarts.org. If you're enjoying these episodes, spread the word of the Ministry of Arts podcast. If you're not, well, fuck you. You won't be listening to this bit anyway. And those of you that are, thanks for listening. And until next week, ta-da.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.